This morning is in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, excuse me, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your precious word as we read about the creation, how everything came to be, and all that we should praise you for, our Father, as we think through all of these various things that you have created and all the wonders of nature and even ourselves. And we praise you and thank you for your sovereign grace and mercy and love. And pray that you'll help us, our Father, to love you and serve you and honor you in everything that we do and say. We thank you to know that we are not mere products of happenstance, but you planned it all. And we praise your holy name, give you all the glory for it. Our Father, we do want to pray this morning for those who are ill. We think of Charlie Wagner, especially in the hospital. And we pray for him that he might soon be able to return home, that you'll just give him the strength he needs for each day. And we pray for the family and loved ones of Kathy Moyer, that you might comfort their hearts at this time and meet their needs. Others who are still in the process of grieving, we ask you to help them as well. And may your will be done, guide and help and direct in every way. We do pray this morning, our Father, for your people around the world, the church that's persecuted. We pray for them, our Father, that you might comfort the hearts of those who are suffering and set them free from this bondage. We thank you for all your love to us. And we do pray now that you'll bless your word to our hearts as we think upon it this morning, as we think about all that began so long ago and continues on even today. May your holy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the year of our Lord, 2019. None of us knows exactly what will happen this year. You know, the optimist hopes for the best. The pessimist expects the worst. And the rest of us take a wait-and-see attitude, don't we? Maybe this will be the year when Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes, it would. The beginning of the new year made me think of what the Bible says about beginning. Genesis, of course, is the book of beginnings. It describes the beginning of the universe, the creation of mankind, how sin came into the world, God's offer of salvation, the origin of family life and war, civilization, and so many other things. Moses, of course, is the great leader of Israel, is the author of Genesis. He wrote Genesis as well as Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Psalm 90, and I'm not sure what else. But at any rate, we find here it starts off very simply. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is the creator. The Bible begins with him. There's no explanation or effort to prove that God exists. You know, the theologians all have their theories about how the world came into being and about God and all of this. But the Bible very simply says, in the beginning, God. There he is. When the beginning was, whenever it was, God was already there. He always has been, right? He always will be. He's the absolute constant that we can depend upon. There's no changing God. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. He's always the same. And we can depend upon him. The Hebrew name for God used here in Genesis 1 is Elohim. Elohim. El is the name for God in general. Elohim is the plural of God, which sometimes is translated gods with a little g. But in this case, this is talking about the true and the living God, Elohim. And it's used with singular verbs. So even though it's a plural word, it's used in this way to emphasize who he is in all of his majesty. And it appears about 30 times here in the first chapter of Genesis and 2,570 times in the entire Old Testament. So this is an important name of God. It characterizes him as the Almighty One, the Faithful One, the one who is to be reverenced and worshipped. The whole point of describing creation and showing how mighty God is and all of that he has done for us is to bring us to a place of submission and reverence and honor and glory to his name. It also implies, I think, the Trinity, the fact that it's a plural word representing God. And we know the rest of the Bible, in the New Testament especially, speaks more clearly of the deity of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. But here in verse 2, it actually speaks about the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And we know that the New Testament tells us that God created all things through Christ. Christ is the agent that created all these things. So we find that in the mystery of who God is, we can't fully understand it all, I don't think. But it is wonderful to think of how he is so complex and compound and all of that. And at the same time, he so simply loves us. He pours out his grace and his mercy upon us. And he has come to redeem us from our sins. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. The reason Jesus came was to glorify the Father and to redeem mankind, to bring us to himself. And that brought great joy to him. So here we find God creating all things. And then it says down in, if you look in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Who's he talking to? Because the next verse says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So when he says our, it implies to me he's speaking to the other members of the Trinity, right? We have our, and then it says his. So anyway, I don't want to get too technical on these things, but I thought that was interesting to point out to you that the Trinity is mentioned right here in the beginning of Genesis, and it goes throughout the whole Bible. So we have a wonderful, wonderful God. And God is so good, isn't he? Yeah. I wasn't sure I knew that song this morning until we got started with it. But it's a good one. And so anyway, we find here the creation. You know, although most scientists and many scholars do not believe that God created everything, especially not in the way the Bible presents it. They don't want to accept the fact that he created the whole world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. But I did read something as I was studying for this. This one person did a survey of the Bible scholars, the Hebrew scholars, and they admit that the word for day that we find here in Genesis, it's Yom, Y-O-M in Hebrew, means what? Day. It means day. 24-hour day. That's what he's talking about. And they admit that. But then they try to explain it away and say, well, yeah, that's what it means, but, you know. But anyway, they have to admit that he's talking about a day. And when it talks about the evening and the morning, what does that make up? It makes up a day. And so we find here, we see the majesty of God. And, you know, if you believe verse 1, then you can believe everything else, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, okay? How did he do it? Well, that's his business, really. But here he tells us how he did it. And why would we doubt what God says to us? If we accept the Bible as the Word of God, which is it is, then why should we not accept the first chapter of Genesis the way it is? I mean, I know the world thinks this is foolish. They think that it all came about with some big bang out there in the universe someplace. You know, where did the universe come from? Well, I mean, how did this big bang come about? I mean, you know, how foolish can you be? It had to start somewhere. God, in the beginning, God. He was there. And he's the one that did it. And he did it the way it's described in Genesis chapter 1. You know, I mean, why would God... The question we ought to ask ourselves is, why did he take so long to do it? He could have just said, let there be creation. And here, you know, there it would be. But he took 6 days to finish the task. And here he has it all written out for us so that we understand how it came about and how it all comes from God. He's the one who originated it all. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. See? God spoke and it was. Right? That's all he had to do. That's like when it tells us when Jesus comes back again, all of his enemies are going to be out there before him. He's going to come back riding on the white horse, and all he has to do is he has a sword in his mouth. What does that mean? It's his word. He speaks the word and it's all over. See? Anyway, now we find here the days of creation. I'll just quickly mention this. The first day, he took the light and brought it forth out of the darkness. It says that there was darkness and... everything was in turmoil at the beginning. And he made light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Second day, the firmament was divided. The waters above and the waters below. He made the heaven, or what we call the sky, right? Here it is, this expanse out here. We look up and we see the sky above us. He made that. There was waters above and waters below. On the third day, he separated the land and the sea, brought forth the plant life. On the fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars were created to put in the sky, to illuminate the earth. On the fifth day, the living creatures were made that live in the water and in the air. And on the sixth day, he made the living creatures on land, and then he created human beings, which is what we are, right? I think that's what we are. They claim that we're monkeys' uncles or monkeys' cousins or something, but I think, no, God separates us. He makes a distinction here. He talks about made all the beasts of the earth after their kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creeps after the kind. And then he says in verse 26, altogether separate, let us make man. See, we're not slime. Sorry. We are not the monkeys. We are human beings that God has created in his image. Wow. That's something, isn't it? Think about that. God made us in his own image. And then after that, it says that he rested. That starts in chapter 2. But anyway, why would God need to rest? Well, I believe he's setting an example for us. Do you need rest? Most people don't get enough, probably. And he says you're supposed to work 6 days. And I think they worked from sunrise to sunset, right? If you work 6 days from sunrise to sunset, you're ready to rest on the seventh day, right? And that's the way that it all started out. Today, I think we've changed things quite a bit, but probably not for the better. Anyway, this is the beginning. God created all things. He is there. Now let's look over in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Found the right bookmark here. Here it is. The first verse of John says, in the beginning, there it is, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So again, we have the very same thing we had in Genesis, right? In the beginning, God. Here it says the Word was with God. The Word was God. John here is introducing his subject. This is the gospel of the good news about Jesus Christ. And it starts off, in the beginning was the Word. He is the living Word of God. The Logos is the word in the Greek, which means the thought, the very essence of God. And it says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we find, according to verse 3, the Word was what created all things. Verse 3, all things were made by him. See, the Word personified. And without him was not anything made that was made. So here we find the teaching again. It says God created all things. And here it says that Christ created all things. Right? The Word, who became flesh, is the eternal creator, the eternal Word. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Excuse me. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Notice this. By whom also he made the worlds. See? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So here we find again the author of Hebrews saying the same thing, that Jesus Christ is the one who created all things. He's the light that dispels the darkness. He's the one who provides salvation for all those who will believe in him. He gives life to all who will put their faith and trust in him. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So as he has begun a good work in you, bringing you to salvation, putting your faith and trust in him, he's going to carry it all the way through until the end. He promises, doesn't he, that we can depend upon him. So the eternal God who created all things has promised to finish the work that he began, the work of creation here in the world. He's going to make a new creation, isn't he? He's going to make the new heavens and the new earth eventually. And all of the sin and ungodliness is going to be done away with, and there will be perfect righteousness. And we will live with him forever. Those of us who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and he who began a good work in you, the work of salvation, is going to complete that. He's making us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus. He's told us to, that this is his The object of the Father is to make us more like Christ, that we might be in His image. Our image, the image of God in man, has been defiled by sin, but it's going to be restored. And we will be with Him throughout eternity. It's a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? That God, who began all things, is going to finish it. Again, that reminds me of what we had in Sunday school this morning. It talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father on high. So we can rejoice in that. You know, sometimes I think we get discouraged, don't we? Do you get discouraged? Looking about, thinking about all that's going on around in the world, and everything seems to be going in the wrong direction. We can always take consolation in the fact that God is going to work it out. Keep your faith in Him. Trust in the Lord Jesus, and He will see you through. He began it all, and He's going to finish the work that he began. I had another verse here I was wanting to mention. This is from Jeremiah 32:17. I got it out of the Days of Praise back there. By the way, there's a big stack of devotional books back there. You can help yourself. Pass them out. They've got a lot of good information in them. Anyway, this is from Jeremiah 32:17. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Right? If God could create everything, surely He could take care of you. He could take care of me. So why do we fret and worry and fear? There's nothing too hard for God. If we'll just put our faith and trust in Him, He will see us through. Blessed be His name. Thank You, Lord, for Your word to our hearts today. We pray Your blessing upon us now as we share in the communion table, remembering our Lord Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross that makes our salvation possible. Lord, we pray, bless each one of us and give us wisdom and understanding. Give us faith to believe You. If there's anyone who has never trusted Jesus, we pray that this would be the day when they will put their faith and trust and confidence in You. Lord, we know that You're with us to help us. We pray that we will do Your will in all things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.